Yes, we are in D.C., but that doesn't mean that our benchmark conversations aren't going to continue as they do each and every Wednesday morning at this time. Our friends at the Show Me Institute joining us on KCMO Talk Radio, a Missouri-based think tank. Aaron Hedlund, chief economist at the Show Me Institute, joining us on KCMO. Aaron, good morning. Great to have you here. So the Fed today, meeting at 1 o'clock, announcement coming at 1 o'clock, and the expectation is for a 0.75% hike in interest rates. Is that what you are expecting, and what does that mean then to Missourians and Kansans as we move forward?
Well, first of all, good morning. I hear you're in my old stomping grounds at the moment there in D.C. And yeah, I think the markets have priced in a 0.75% increase, with some even small possibility of a full percentage point, although I'm doubtful that that'll happen. And so if that's really the decision, then I don't see markets reacting much to the decision itself. I think really the key news will be, what does Chairman Powell say in his remarks? In other words, what does he telegraph is going to happen at the next decision and the next decision going forward in the fall? People want to know, what's the end point for rates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's going to be announced by Jerome Powell, or at least he's going to give us an idea, right? Like, he's not going to announce anything, but based on how tough he talks, for lack of a better phrase, we'll understand if he's looking at multiple further increases in interest rates in the future over the rest of the year.
Exactly. That's the big key. And for sure, he's not going to tell us any numbers about what they're going to do in the future. That's why there's a whole kind of cottage industry of people who are trying to kind of translate Fed speak into regular speak. But when he gave a speech about a month ago in Jackson Hole, it was very tough. And that really kind of jolted markets into realizing that the Fed is not anywhere close to done. Mm-hmm. And then we got the really bad inflation data recently. So today's remarks are going to be really key. Are we looking at, by the end of the year, a 4% rate, a 4.5%, 5%? Where are we going? Because that's going to affect mortgages, the housing market, borrowing costs, everything.
Yeah. And now in Missouri, of course, they're meeting right now, special session underway to cut the state income tax across the board. Does this play at all into that, or are these two essentially separate things in most ways?
By the way, I'd phrase it as Missouri is facing two crises right now. One is the inflation crisis, which the whole country is facing, and Missouri specifically is facing a low growth crisis. Missouri has been growing almost a full percentage point slower than the U.S. economy as a whole over the past several years. So the way I see these tax cut discussions in Jefferson City is they're really urgent. People need relief, and Missouri needs some real growth accelerant to kind of deliver higher incomes.
How do you feel then overall about the possibility of this getting done? I know everyone's saying the right things, but as we saw during the legislative session in the winter and spring in Jeff City, a lot of infighting amongst Republicans resulted in not a lot of stuff necessarily getting done. So based on what you know and what is happening down there in Jeff City, how do you feel about this thing overall?
So I'm getting a positive vibe that they'll get something done. I mean, the special session really is limited to this particular topic. So maybe the distractions of redistricting and all those things that kind of messed up the session in the spring won't be there as much. To me, I think the real question is not whether they get anything done, which would be great, but how bold do they go? What does it indicate for the future? But I do think we'll get something, hopefully.
Okay, so you do feel like we'll get something done there in Jeff City. All right, so then what do you want that to look like? Like, what's your ideal scenario, Aaron, in terms of how Missouri goes about cutting its income tax, which they're meeting on right now?
Yeah, so to me, the number one thing we can do is to get that rate down as much as we can. In other words, rather than using a bunch of resources to put out more tax credits or even changing things like standard deductions and stuff like that, we really want to get that rate down, because that's what drives investment decisions. That's what drives where companies locate. That's what drives where workers locate. And we're competing with states like Texas and Tennessee and Florida, which are, of course, at zero, not to mention other states that are lower than us. So this is a fight for talent and a fight for capital, and people should really realize that taxes have consequences. It's not just a matter of how many dollars stay in your pocket from the direct effect of the tax itself. It's all the economic ripple effects. And really the biggest impact of a major rate reduction would be faster wage growth as more companies decide that Missouri should be their home.
Now, I know that they're trying to kind of take these income tax cuts and phase them in. We know that Kansas tried a broader, more expansive tax cut under Sam Brownback, and that still is used in political ads here in the region, as you probably well know. And already you've got, you know, Democrats in Missouri pointing to Kansas and saying, look at the failed experiment of Sam Brownback in Kansas, and this is why you can never do an income tax cut at the state level. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'd say is it actually wasn't a broader-based effort in Kansas. What they did is they took the tax rate for one specific type of income, pass-through income, and drove that all the way down to zero. So essentially they created more like a tax loophole, to be honest. And so people were able to kind of reclassify their income from one type to the other. And so what you saw is not much growth effect because it wasn't a broad-based reduction, more kind of tax evasion type of activities. And, of course, the other thing is whenever you're doing budgeting, you have to look at both sides of the ledger. You know, you have to make sure your spending is disciplined if you're dealing things with revenues. So I think that that's a bad lesson. We can look at many other states who have reduced their taxes and made them more pro-growth. And, in fact, I mentioned those states, like Texas, Florida, Tennessee, just to start with. I mean, they are boom states. Those are the states we should be emulating.
Now, those are states that obviously have never had a state income tax, right? So is there a state right now that's being more aggressive in cutting that is also seeing growth beyond those states that just never had that state income tax to begin with?
Yeah, you can look at North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina has become one of the most business-friendly states in the country. And, of course, it's not just about taxes. There's other various things. But they had a relatively high marginal tax rate for years and recently have lowered it quite a bit. And now they're reaching the top of the charts and tons of people moving to Charlotte and the Research Triangle area. So, yeah, there's definitely other states that have followed this model, and we'd be smart to look at the same path.
All right. Aaron Hedlund, Show Me Institute. Last thing, Aaron, tying it back to today's news with the Fed expecting to increase interest rates by 0.75 points at about 1 o'clock. That announcement should come down today. What do you look at in terms of impacts on our local economies, our state economies? Obviously, we think of the real estate market, home purchasing, what that's going to do to mortgage rates. But what else should we be watching in the fallout from this news today?
Yeah, so and that is definitely the first thing I'd be looking at is the real estate market, because that's going to be one of the most interest rate sensitive sectors. It's already been taking a battering over the past several months. So it'd be interesting to watch what happens, and specifically house prices. Right now, we've seen a slowdown, but we haven't seen house prices actually decline. So that's what I've been looking out for, is do prices actually decline, because that could have various problems. And then in time, we'll get data on consumer spending that's more broad, and that'll give us a sense for whether the 2 quarters that the economy shrank at the beginning of the year are likely to keep going, and whether that'll imply that higher inflows down. So a lot of data to watch, but interesting time.
Yeah, Aaron Hedlund, Show Me Institute, Missouri-based think tank on KCMO. Aaron, we'll be watching, my man. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go. Aaron Hedlund on KCMO Talk Radio.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.